Good afternoon, New Life Church. It is a delight to be with you all today. I am here with my wife, Gloria. We've been married 23 years. We do have four mostly teenage children who are back in Dubai and hopefully behaving themselves back there. On February the 12th, 2010, on the 15th, actually 2025, just a few months ago, on our 15th anniversary as a church, we launched in 2010, but on our 15th anniversary as a church, I stepped down from my role as senior pastor at Redeemer Church, and I recently became the first chancellor of the Gulf Theological Seminary. So I'm excited for those 11 of you who are doing foundations here, praise God. I'm excited for the rest of you that are studying for Pastor Pedro, who is a graduate of the Gulf Theological Seminary. I'll be spending time in the coming days working on building church partnerships, recruiting students, fundraising, speaking, and other strategic planning. So it's a big transition for us from the church side to the seminary side, but we're looking forward to this upcoming season. Well, I've long admired your church. You are a wonderful church. You're led by godly leaders. I've been encouraged by your pastor, your senior pastor, Gareth. I've also been encouraged, as we've talked about, by Pastor Pedro. I'm going through the Gulf Theological Seminary. I was able to be with him in the church planting class, and that was a wonderful thrill. You're led well by men who love God's word and who love you. So it's great to be face to face with all of you today. It's not my first time with you. It's just been a long time since I've been with you all. I was in the UAE at the very beginning of New Life Church when Pastor Joe Page from ECC was the interim preaching pastor of New Life Church. And Pastor Joe had a significant impact on me and Gloria in our life and on us getting here to the UAE. While living in the U.S. and praying about where God might send us for ministry, I had a phone call with Pastor Joe from ECC. Gloria and I, we thought we were headed towards southern Spain to do ministry, but we had landed on a layover in Dubai in July of 2004. Now, it's about to be July here in the UAE, and we know that there's not much great about the UAE in July. It's pretty ridiculously hot. We tried to go to the beach, but we burned our feet in the sand. It was so hot. And I remember looking out our window of our hotel room, and we saw thousands of men in blue uniforms building what today is the marina area of Dubai. But we thought to ourselves, who are these men? What is going on here in this city, in this country? As we drove around, we were stunned at the diversity, at the fast growth. We came back home and we had that phone call with Pastor Joe. And he shared with us about how Lee Street's peoples were coming to know Christ in Abu Dhabi, here in the capital city. And that God was using the English-speaking church, the English-speaking churches to see Lee Street's hear the good news of the gospel, repent, and believe. So hearing this on the phone, getting very excited, my wife Gloria was kind of eavesdropping in on the conversation at that time. She got so excited about the opportunity of seeing the least reach through the expatriate church in the UAE that she ran to our bedroom. She grabbed her suitcase. I'm still on the phone in the other room. Grabbed her suitcase, grabbed her favorite John Piper missions books and her clothes, and zipped up the suitcase and walked to the front door of our flat and yelled out, "Let's go!" Of course, I'm still on the phone in the other room. We get off the phone call, and I had to remind her that we didn't have any money yet for plane tickets or a plan. We hadn't finished theological studies. We had jobs in the meantime, but it was her way of saying, "I'm in. Let's go." And who was I to let reality ruin the moment? I was excited as well. And so for the next 3 years, we prayed and we prepared. We felt this irresistible desire, this irresistible compulsion to move to the UAE to plant a church. And Pastor Joe had said, if you plant a church in downtown Dubai and you preach the gospel faithfully, it will grow. There's such a need. And so we took out a map of Dubai, and we knew where one healthy church was, and that's all we knew down in the southern part of Dubai. So we drew a square around the northern part of Dubai, the highest population density kind of area of the city. We drew a square there, and in God's kindness, we moved to Dubai on August 23rd, 2008, and then on February 12, 2010, Redeemer Dubai launched right in the center of that square that we had prayed for about 3 years. Later on, so that's Pastor Joe, and I became fast friends with Pastor Matthew Levant, who was the first full-time pastor of New Life Church. That was back when your church was called Evangelical Community Church Off Island, or ECC Off Island. Now, I think I like the new name better. I don't know about you, but Pastor Matthew and I spent a lot of time together. He invited me to preach to the church. I preached from the Book of Ruth in the old meeting location. I always thought that New Life had the best meeting location, but we tried to one-up you at Redeemer a couple of times and failed. We have a history at Redeemer of struggling with meeting locations. I think we've met in over a dozen different places. We've been kicked out on 1 week's notice multiple times. And so we were very close to meeting at the Maidan racing, a horse racing track in Dubai. Multiple visits, brought the elders there, prayed over the racetrack, and we had a contract signed. It was all finished. We were ready to move to the horse racetrack and become horse church. And at the last minute, the contract fell through and we failed. Then my fellow pastor and I took 7 trips to the QE2. That's the Queen Elizabeth II, the ship in the port there. It has a hotel and restaurants there. And they have an old theater up at the top of the old cruise ship. And we were going to use that theater for church. 7 trips. Everything was organized, where we would do our children's ministry, how we would organize everything. We even suffered for Jesus by eating their Sunday brunch one time on the QA2 filled with chocolate fountains and all kinds of other delicacies. We thought we would be horse church, or we thought we would be cruise ship church, but you guys really were the zoo church, weren't you? Or at least that's what we called you. The zoo must have been one of the most unique locations for a church anywhere in the world. I do pray that you get back there one day or to another suitable location in the part of the city you would like to be in. But I know they built a new room. So many of you probably know the new room. How many of you were a part of the church at the original zoo meeting location, the one with the shisha rooms on the side? Raise your hand if you were there in the shisha rooms. Okay, only a few of you remember those rooms. Well, praise God for the few that are still here. God has been faithful to bring this church through so much in various seasons. We praise God for his amazing work through you. Well, today I want us to look at Romans chapter 16. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to go verse by verse through the text, starting in verse 1. For believers who study the Bible at length, you may have studied Romans many times, but Romans 16 sometimes is lost in the shuffle. I wonder if we end our study as soon as we see the long list of names here in Romans. If we did, it would be a great mistake, as these words have much to teach us about the very word of God. Paul is headed towards Spain. So here's the context of the book of Romans. Paul is headed towards Spain, but he's planning an intentional layover. We know a lot about layovers in Abu Dhabi and Dubai. Paul is planning an intentional layover in Rome after bringing relief to the saints in Jerusalem. He's never visited the church in Rome, but he writes this letter to let them know that he hopes that he can partner with the Roman church in gospel ministry in taking the good news to Spain. Now, in the first 11 chapters of Romans, Paul reveals how Christ welcomes us into his family by repentance of sins and faith in Jesus Christ through Christ's death on the cross and resurrection from the dead. That's the first 11 chapters of the book. Then from chapter 12 onward, we see that because of that welcome, believers can live together as a family and extend the welcome to others. And so we see this section from chapter 12 on through 15. And then we see Paul's conclusion in chapter 16. And in it, he shows us that ministry is a partnership. And today's main point is simple and yet revolutionary if we live it out. So I have one main point today. I'll repeat it throughout the sermon in case you miss it, but just one main overarching point this afternoon. Here it is. It takes the whole church to advance the kingdom of God in this world. So the title of the sermon is It Takes the Whole Church. And if you want the whole point, it takes the whole church to advance the kingdom of God in this world. It takes the whole church, every one of us, every one of us sitting here today, to advance the kingdom of God. And we'll see that in our text today. It's what we've seen in New Life Church. It's what we've seen in Redeemer Church of Dubai over the years. And it's what you'll see as you send out Pastor Pedro and Victorina in these next weeks, that the mission of God is a community project. The Apostle Paul was an incredible leader. Sometimes we might think of him as such a great leader that he stands head and shoulders above the rest, perhaps even intimidating. But reading about his many close relationships always encourages me. While gritty and determined, he was also a gentle, kind-hearted, and loving man. He shared not only the gospel with people, but he shared also his very life. In 1 Thessalonians 2, he writes, "We were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you had become very dear to us." Well, Paul writes a long list of names in our passage, yet he's never been to Rome. Apparently, Paul met many of them on various journeys. They later moved to Rome. Well, let's jump in. Verse 1. Paul writes, "I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church at Cenchrea." We'll stop there for a moment. Cenchrea was Corinth's eastern port. You see, the first person that Paul writes about in his long list of names here is a woman. The word for servant here is the same as diakonos, which is translated as deacon. This verse is one of the arguments some make for female deacons. Now, the point here, though, is that Paul is commending her as a servant of the church and a sister in Christ. She, too, is headed to Rome, and Paul is asking the church to welcome her. He's contacting the church. He's connecting her to the church, to the believing community there. Now, Phoebe might actually have been the one to actually carry the letter for Paul to Rome. Well, verse 2, Paul says that you may welcome her, Phoebe, in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints and help her in whatever she may need from you, for she has been a patron of many and of myself as well. So Paul's connecting her to the church, and he says that one way Phoebe has helped me is through her wealth. A patron. A patron is one who provides for others. Paul says Phoebe's been a patron of many. This is her normal posture towards the body of Christ. She had even partnered with Paul financially. A fellow Christian, what an example to us. Some of us go, but all of us can give, some more than others, but all of us can be generous. It takes goers and senders to spread the gospel. So as you send Pastor Pedro and Victorina to Angola via South Africa this summer, not all of you can go with them. I suspect most of you, if not all of you, will remain here in the UAE. But it takes both goers and senders to plant churches. Gospel goers need gospel patrons. Well, maybe you're in a position like Phoebe, where you can financially support the new church plant. Maybe you've already started. Maybe some of you are still praying about how you might help with this ministry in Angola. Well, please hear this. Friends, it takes the whole church to advance the kingdom of God in this world. It takes the whole church. Paul's missionary journeys were a community effort. A woman named Phoebe, that's what the text says here. A woman named Phoebe made it possible for the Apostle Paul to plant churches throughout Asia. You and others will make it possible for the Samuels to plant in Angola. And I urge you, I encourage you to take responsibility for the church plant as you can do whatever you can to see it launched. This is team ministry. Some go, but all send. Gospel goers can't do what they do without gospel patrons. We give of our finances. We also give of our prayers. God has sovereignly chosen to move in this world through the prayers of his people. And so we pray for the Samuels because prayer really works. And we give to the Samuels because gospel patrons are needed to see the gospel move throughout the world. It takes the whole church, every one of us, giving what we can of our worldly treasure to build what moths and rust cannot destroy. Well, Paul keeps going. He lists 26 people in total. Verses 3 and 4, "Greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but all the churches of the Gentiles give thanks as well." Now, the scriptures often mention Paul's fellow workers, Prisca and Aquila. Paul was not a lone ranger church planter. We've already seen a patron. Now we see these two that have served Paul in a number of ways. They've served alongside Paul, but in verse 4, he says, they also risked their necks for Paul's life. They put their lives at risk to serve Paul in the greater cause of Christ. Paul suffered. We know that. We see his CV of suffering in 2 Corinthians. Paul suffered, but others suffered as well. These Christians put themselves in harm's way for the sake of the gospel. It takes the whole church to advance the kingdom of God in this world. Verse 5, greet also the church in their house. Greet my beloved Epaphras, who is the first convert to Christ in Asia. I mean, you sense the affection behind these words here in this chapter. My beloved Epaphras. How sweet to see the gospel spread here. Paul is greeting the first convert, the first person to come to Christ in Asia. My beloved. In verse 6, greet Mary, who's worked hard for you. And notice in verse 7, others who suffered alongside Paul. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners. They are well known to the apostles, and they were in Christ before me. These believers who came to faith before Paul are now in prison because of their faith. They were willing to lose everything for the sake of Christ. Church, is this your posture? Are you willing, like Andronicus and Junia, to suffer for the cause of the gospel? Because if you follow Christ faithfully, even in a place that we feel like is safe on the outside, if we follow Christ faithfully and serve to advance his kingdom, suffering will come. It will come. But the gift of God himself is better than anything this world has to offer. No matter what happens to us, God will never leave us or forsake us. I love the Great Commission. End of Matthew chapter 28. The Great Commission is actually our mission statement at Redeemer Church of Dubai. It's to make disciples of all nations. And I love that. It's a great statement. That's great. But the most comforting part about the Great Commission is Jesus' promise that he will be with us as we go about his commission. He says to us, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the age. When God is for us, who can be against us? Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. New Life Church, serve him boldly. Jesus is with you. Serve him wholeheartedly. Jesus is with you. Pastor Pedro, Victorina, as you go and plant churches, there will be trials. There will be tribulations. Even now, there will be trials. It won't be easy. Satan hates new churches. Satan hates church planting. He hates it because it's God's means for seeing the gospel go out throughout the world. So Satan hates it. So there will be physical trials or emotional trials or persecution. Every church planter goes through something different. So church, know that about the Samuels as you send them, that it won't be easy. There will be trials. But friends, whatever it may be, don't forget that no matter what you're going through, Jesus is with you. Jesus is with you. He'll be with you to the end. Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, is with you. Well, verses 8 through 12, more names. I'm going to read them all. I've been practicing, so here we go. Greet Ampliatus, my beloved in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, my beloved Stachys. Verse 10, greet Apollos, who is approved in Christ. Greet those who belong to the family of Aristobulus. Greet my kinsman Herodian. Greet those in the Lord who belong to the family of Narcissus. Greet those workers in the Lord, Tryphena and Tryphosa. Greet the beloved Persis, who has worked hard in the Lord. Well, there are many ways Paul describes these friends in those verses. They are beloved to him. They're his fellow workers, those approved in Christ, those who have worked hard in the Lord, and his kinsmen. It takes the whole church. A couple of names to point out. Tryphena and Tryphosa were possibly twin sisters serving the Lord together. Their names mean delicate and dainty. Paul describes them, though, as workers in the Lord. Church, God can use anyone, and in fact, God uses everyone. God can use anyone. Everyone has a part to play. When I first visited New Life Church, so I told you about the old meeting location back when you first became Zoo Church, in the room that had all the shisha rooms to the side. So it was those shisha rooms there to the side that were transformed at that time on Friday mornings to the children's ministry. But what I haven't told you yet is, in order to prepare those rooms for children's ministry, there were members of the church every single week that had to come a couple of hours before the service to get those rooms ready for children's ministry. They had to fumigate and air out the rooms. They had to clean the air, literally. And it took multiple hours to make those rooms safe for the children and intolerable for the volunteers, the smell, the smoke from the late night before. There was volunteers every single week. If it wasn't for those church members that would come early, there would be no children's ministry. Friends, it takes the whole church. I don't know what it looks like today at New Life. I saw a nice list of different ministries, formal ministries that you have. I know there's also informal ministries you take part in, just in your personal discipleship and evangelism and other things. But friends, there's not one part that's more important than another part of the body of Christ. It takes the whole body of Christ serving in your unique ways to build the body of Christ and glorify God. So give, pray, serve, host, preach, teach, evangelize, disciple, clean, cook, encourage, exhort, adopt, help, sing, welcome, hug. God uses any and all of these means to build his church. Verse 13, I love this verse. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, also his mother, who has been a mother to me as well. Now, Rufus was chosen in the Lord. A little reminder of our theology from earlier in the book of Romans, where Paul talks about the doctrine of election. Paul writes about this extensively in this letter, that we have no power to save ourselves. We have no power apart from God's choosing grace, that God chooses us and God saves us, that salvation is 100% the sovereign work of God. Well, Rufus here might be the son of Simon of Cyrene, who we see in Mark 15 carrying Jesus' cross. We don't know for sure. Well, Paul greets Rufus, but also his mother. And then these are the words that make me smile when Paul says, she's been a mother to me as well. It takes the whole church to advance the kingdom of God in this world, even moms, especially moms, and those who served as moms to others. Many of you don't have children or have not been able to have children. Whether you're a mom or not, whether you're young or older, you have an opportunity to mother or to shepherd and care for others, which directly correlates to making disciples of all nations. Now, during the 15 years of pastoring Redeemer Church of Dubai, many older women in our church have become like mothers to me. They've constantly prayed for me or encouraged me. They've told me to keep going when I've had nothing more to give. Rufus's mom, she was also Paul's mother, and she made a difference. She impacted the spread of the gospel. Right, we've seen Phoebe, she's impacted the spread of the gospel through her giving. We've seen Prisca and Aquila, they've risked their lives for the sake of the gospel. We've seen others in prison for the sake of the gospel. Here we see Rufus's mom was an encouragement to the greatest church planter in the history of the world. Friends, it takes the whole church. It takes the whole church to advance the kingdom of God in this world. Friend, don't underestimate your impact of making disciples of all nations. God can and will use all of us. Want more names? Verses 14 and 15, greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Patrobus, Hermas, and the brothers who are with them. Now, I wonder if Paul left those brothers' names out because they were even more difficult to pronounce. I don't know, but then there's verse 15. Greet Philologus, Julia, Nereus, and his sister Olympus, and all the saints who are with them. Now, interestingly, many of these names are unfamiliar to us. They're not listed anywhere else in the scriptures. However, about half of them are common slave names. Many of these were not wealthy, prominent members of society. For Paul to know of them while never visiting Rome meant it was possible that they were church leaders, slaves. Not the wealthy, but the poor. These churches, this church there in Rome, it was crossing socioeconomic lines. There's also a mix. Did you notice as I read, there's a mix of men and women. 9 women are listed. This is the 4th time we see Prisca and Aquila mentioned in Paul's writings. Again, we don't know why her name is always listed first, but again, Paul valued women. That is clear. Paul's list here has singles, married couples, widows, slaves, social elites, new Christians, mature believers, Greeks, Romans, and Jews. Some he met in prison, others he met in the synagogues or the marketplace or the church. Just in one list, just in this one chapter. This was a diverse church in Rome, but they were unified in the gospel. They came together because of Jesus. The Christians understood that God had welcomed them into his family, and they were to welcome others into his family for the glory of God. 4 times Paul mentions his friends as being in Christ. 5 times he says they're in the Lord. He uses this family language, these terms of endearment. God was bringing this diverse group of people together, and all that they had in common was that they were in Christ. Jesus brought them together. Another reminder that it takes the whole church to advance the kingdom of God in this world. New Life, this church, this work here in Abu Dhabi, this is God's work. God has broken down the dividing wall, broken down the wall of hostility, and has brought you together. This is incredible. No one else could do this but God. This is why it's stunning when people visit Redeemer Church of Dubai's gatherings or New Life's gatherings. This probably happens to you often as it does for us when people come as a visitor and they tell us that it felt like a little taste of heaven during our worship gathering. Friends, that's because it is. It is every Sunday when you gather here at 4:30 in the upper chapel here on floor 1 at the Evangelical Church Center in Abu Dhabi. When you gather, something cosmically wonderful is happening here. A little taste of eternity is happening as you gather from a multitude of different nations across socioeconomic lines as well. Unity in our diversity, different, but all together. So New Life Church, continue to fight for unity, strive for peace, and love one another regardless of your background. Pursue those whom the world won't pursue. And may the world know your love for Jesus by your love for one another. Let's love so much that verse 16 would be true. It's our last verse in our text. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you. Now, before you get up and start kissing each other, well, that would be a little bit awkward right now, wouldn't it? Let me talk about this verse for a minute. You might not know this, but I can't shake hands. I've never been able to be the pastor who stands at the door or up front shaking everybody's hand on their way out or greeting you on your way in. I have a nerve disorder in my arms, and so I'm disabled. I might move my arms quite a bit when I preach, but that's mostly what I can do with them. I can't lift much, can't open doors, can't shake hands, can't drive. Well, one Sunday long ago, many years ago now, at a Redeemer Church sermon, I said that while I can shake hands, I'm telling the congregation this, I said, well, while I can't shake hands, I can kiss, so you can call me the kissing pastor. Now, my wife, Gloria, thought that was a really bad idea to be known as the kissing pastor. You really don't want that to be your nickname. I'm not unsure why, but I trusted her, and I haven't repeated it until here recently, I suppose. But I do say that I'm the hugging pastor, and I do give out hugs. Chances are if you try to shake my hand after the service, I may in turn give you a hug instead. But my hugging history goes back about 25 years. There's a funny story about my first interaction with Pastor John Piper. Maybe you've been influenced by some of his books or sermons at Desiring God. Maybe some of you came to the conference in Dubai earlier this year. He preached the Redeemer earlier this year. Well, my first interaction with Pastor John was before Gloria and I were in a relationship together, though we were both there that night in Dallas, USA. Pastor John Piper was a guest preacher, and so we drove 45 minutes just to hear our hero preach. Pastor John had changed my life, and so I asked someone to dare me to walk up to him after his preaching, after his service, to walk up to him unannounced without saying hi and to give him a bear hug right after the sermon. I don't know why I said that. It sounds pretty stupid, but I did. Someone dared me, and then they double dog dared me, which meant now I had to do it. So Pastor John finished preaching, and he came down the stairs, and I walked across the front, and without saying a word or acknowledging him, I gave him a big bear hug, and then I turned around and walked away without saying a single word. Now, pretty bizarre, right? I don't really recommend that. I guess that's why I'm called the hugging pastor. Now, I'm not sure that counts as a holy kiss, but it was something. But this is a sweet verse here, verse 16. It's a sweet verse. Now, many of our cultures do greet one another with a kiss of some kind. Many don't. Well, Paul and Peter insist on this in their writings. Author John Stott explains the logic. Our verbal greeting needs to be confirmed by a visible and tangible gesture, although what form the kiss should take will vary according to the culture. I think that's what Paul is getting at here in the text, this familial affection. Perhaps that's what a handshake or a hug or even a bear hug is for many of us. The point is that there should be a love and affection in the church between the brothers and sisters in Christ. We're family. We're family, and happy families share affection. Well, Paul finishes this first list of names and gives the final charge. He wrote three things for the Roman church and for us today. So actually, we have a few more verses till verse 23, three exhortations that he gives to the church. Let me leave you with these three exhortations. Number one, in verses 17 and 18, be watchful. Church, be watchful. Look at verses 17 and 18. I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you've been taught. Avoid them, for such persons do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. And by smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the naive. So now Paul's giving some warnings at the end of his letter. Watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to biblical truth, heresy, sinful activities. One author writes, Paul has no sympathy with theological sleepiness. Having a robust doctrine as a church is a loving thing. We don't dumb down doctrine. We don't espouse a lowest common denominator theology in our churches. We don't hide from challenging truths. We teach the whole scriptures for the whole church. Paul doesn't say avoid doctrine here. He says to avoid heretics. This is why we put them out of the church, so that they don't infect the rest of us. When you love like Paul, you protect the church by taking tough action. We guard the church. That's the job of all church members, and it's often done through church discipline. Walking with God is a community project. So we need to recognize people causing division. To do that, we must labor in God's word. So church, don't skimp on this. New Life Church, don't cut corners in your Bible reading or your study. Give it your best. Paul is pleading to the Roman church here at the end of his letter. Be vigilant. Look out for false teaching. So church, you need to know your Bibles. Don't depart from the truth. Teens, tweens, and maybe many of the kids have gone out by now, but learn God's word. Study it for yourselves. And to all of us, avoid heretics. Stay away from them. Separate from those who've departed from the faith. Don't try to appease the unappeasable. Don't try to convince them you can't win. No one has ever been argued into the kingdom of God. Now, Paul says they're not serving the Lord, but their own appetites. This literally means they were serving their own bellies. It's a way of speaking about serving yourself. They're self-centered, only thinking about themselves. They would use smooth talk to hide the intent of their hearts. Don't be part of the problem. It could be doctrine, as I mentioned. It could also be by sinful living. A licentious life could lead to division in the church. It could also be slander. Nothing can divide a church faster than gossip and slander. So friend, be a slander stopper in the church. Stop slander. Don't listen to it, not only do you not engage in it, you don't receive it or listen to slander. If somebody has something to say about somebody else, stop the conversation and encourage them to go talk to that person. If we did this, if we spoke directly to one another, many of the problems in our church would cease. So be watchful. That's Paul's first exhortation here at the end. Number two, verse 19, be discerning. Paul says, Roman church, and Paul says to you, New Life Church today, be discerning. Verse 19, for your obedience is known to all, so that I rejoice over you. But what I want you to be wise as to what is good and innocent as to what is evil. Paul wants us to be experts in what is good, innocent, or terrible at what is evil. Paul says, be discerning, be wise. Stop listening to bad teaching. Stop listening to bad stuff. Don't listen to awful things on the television. There used to be this channel called God TV. I don't know if it still exists, but there's so much bad preaching and teaching on the TV, on the internet. There are YouTube videos claiming to be teaching the Bible that are absolutely terrible. Church, thousands of YouTube views don't equate to sound Bible teaching. Big ministry doesn't equate to faithful ministry. Not all preachers are preaching the truth. And hear me say this, not all preachers are Christians. Not all so-called preachers are Christians. I'm not sure if that shocks you or not, but it's true. Someone could be preaching in the name of Jesus, all the while making a mockery of Jesus by their false teaching or false living. And so don't watch those random YouTube videos. Don't send money to preachers in exchange for prayer. I guarantee you that your pastors at New Life will pray for you for free. I make you that guarantee today. Your pastors will never ask you for money in exchange for prayer. Look for good resources online. Desiring God, Nine Marks, Gospel Coalition, Grace to You, Ligonier, Radical. There are many good resources online. Talk to your pastors. Read and listen to those. So Paul says, be watchful. Paul says, be discerning. And then he gives a third and final exhortation to the Roman church. Verse 20, be hopeful. And he ends with this exhortation. Be hopeful. Verse 20, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. New Life Church, the end is coming. The end is coming. Satan will be defeated. He's already been defeated, but he's still out there causing havoc. He hasn't conceded defeat. He hasn't been fully put away with, but there's no doubt as to the outcome. This may be an allusion to Genesis 3:15, the first mention of the gospel in the Bible where Satan is crushed. Now, friend, the end is coming because Christ has already come. Jesus died for sinners and Jesus rose from the dead. Well, this is the gospel. This is the good news. We've all sinned. Every single one of us has sinned. And we all deserve death and judgment for sinning against the holy God of the universe. But Jesus came and he took our sins. He took the sins of his people upon himself and the full wrath of God upon himself there on that cross. And on the third day, he rose. He resurrected from the dead, conquering death, conquering sin, proving that everything he said and everything that he did, including his death, was true, was right, and that sacrifice was complete so that we might be reconciled to God and have everlasting life. A friend, if you're here today and you don't yet follow Jesus, you can follow him today. You can turn to him today, even from your seat. Nothing you can, you have to go out into the hallway or downstairs or something you have to go do this next week to be saved. But to be saved, you repent of your sins and trust in Jesus to save, and you can do that from your seat right now. Now, if you do follow Christ, what the Apostle Paul is saying here at the end of his letter is to have no fear. To have no fear. Friends, notice Paul writes that this will happen soon. Now, we're in the last days. We don't know how long, but this is the next big thing to happen. Jesus Christ will return. He will return. And so, friend who's struggling with depression, Jesus is coming. You who are weary and heavy laden, Jesus is coming. To the sick, to the one struggling with chronic pain, Jesus is coming. you've been diagnosed with cancer, you've been diagnosed with some other illness, you need a surgical procedure of some kind, Jesus is coming. If you're mourning the death of a loved one, Jesus is coming. If you're in a broken relationship, Jesus is coming. If you're living in suffocating debt, oh friend, Jesus is coming. If you're lonely or heartbroken, Jesus is coming. Whether you're young or old, Jesus is coming. Whether you're African, Asian, Australian, or American, Jesus is coming. Rich or poor, Jesus is coming. If you're up last night at 3 a.m. in despair, oh friend, Jesus is coming. If you're anxious, you just can't shake that worry that's in your heart. Jesus is coming. If your family and friends are persecuting you for your faith, if you're having a hard time in the workplace and you're being mocked for being a Christian friend, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. If you feel like you have nothing to live for, and friend, I've been there even as a pastor, and I want to say to you today that Jesus is coming. He is coming. The present may be rocky, but the future is sure. On Christ, the solid rock, we stand. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming, and he will make all wrong things right. He will wipe every tear from our eyes. New Life Church, be hopeful. Be hopeful. As Pastor John Piper sums up the Christian faith, we are those who are sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Always. Not some of the time, not part of the time, not much of the time, not often. But always, there may be sorrow in our lives, but because Jesus is in our lives, we are always rejoicing. A New Life Church, it takes the whole church to advance the kingdom of God in this world. So may the Lord continue to bless you and keep you and use you in incredible ways here in the capital city. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we thank you for New Life Church of Abu Dhabi. Father, thank you for those who live here in the capital. May the believers in this region grow in strength. May this church be a corporate display of your glory to the UAE and beyond. Would they be unified? Would they all be serving you together as one body? Oh, Father, would their love for you and for each other be known by all? Would they find favor with the rulers and authorities? And would many come to know Christ in this emirate? Oh, Father, bless them as they send the Samuels to South Africa and then to Angola. Father, would the Samuels ministry be fruitful? Would a church be established and would many come to faith? Oh, Father, we pray all of this in the mighty and powerful name of Jesus. Amen.